Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Happy to have you with us this evening here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Thank you for joining us this evening. If you'd like to reach out, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. Would love to connect with you. A couple of quick programming notes. Next week, we will be on immediately following the Kansas City Chiefs post-game show. So we'll be a little late, preempted a little bit, but we will still be here with you next Sunday. Just be a little late. Usually that start time will be around 7:45, 7:30, 7:45, but we'll still be with you next Sunday. Also, don't forget to listen to the carry-on commentaries that now air daily, three times a day, featuring yours truly for a 60-second daily feature. You'll hear those three times a day, Monday through Friday, right here on KNSS. Sedgwick County Republican Party Grand Old Picnic coming up on September 21st, and a vice presidential debate watch party coming up October 1st. Make sure to mark your calendar for both of those. And Tucker Carlson making an appearance here at Interest Bank Arena on Friday, September 13th, with special guest Charlie Kirk. And we're going to give away two tickets to that event coming up later in the show, so you don't want to miss that. And it's going to be a great show, by the way. Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins will be with us to share his thoughts on the recent news. Governor Kelly announced that August sales tax collections surpassed estimates by $23 million. And, of course, she just wants to spend it all. Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice will join us to discuss a story that broke recently that shows multiple school districts in Kansas and Missouri have implemented policies permitting students to keep their gender identity hidden from their parents. Author Daniel Greenfield will expose how less than a week before 9/11, Islamist sympathizers have marched through downtown Manhattan. Law enforcement veteran Michael Letts will join us to discuss how the shutdown of Marble Hill, Missouri Police Department may be the result of the defund the police movement. You gotta love that. We'll resume our candidate profiles with Jeff Blubaugh, who's running for Sedgwick County Commission District 2. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. I'm sure you heard the news this week, but Democrats are crowing because there have been a few Republicans who are endorsing and have announced publicly that they're going to vote for cackling Kamala Harris. Notably, former Vice President Dick Cheney announced this week, and he is that he's voting for Kamala Harris. His daughter Elizabeth Cheney announced she too has endorsed Harris. Of course, nobody was surprised to hear that last one. She's a bitter shrew who lost her reelection over by 37 points and is now the rhino poster child for Trump derangement syndrome. Nobody cares what Elizabeth Cheney has to say. Former President George W. Bush, for his part, has finally released a statement about he will be supporting in November. A spokesperson told the Daily Mail on Saturday that neither the former president nor his wife, Laura Bush, were planning on announcing who they will be voting for. So they didn't endorse Trump. They didn't endorse Harris. They're just staying out of it. But you can read between the lines. Frankly, I don't think it matters who any of these people are voting for. Voters, by and large, could care less who former presidents and former vice presidents are supporting this election cycle. They care about the fact that groceries are up 26%. The price of a gallon of gas has gone from $2 a gallon to $6 a gallon. Electricity costs are up 25%, and the new home prices are up 46%. Every American who has suffered under the weight of this administration's failed economic policies, the past 3.5 years deserves better. That's what voters care about, not who Bush or Cheney are voting for. All that being said, it is disappointing to see Republicans once again failing to unite behind our nominees as we approach a critical election. Republicans can and should win back the White House in November if we put aside our petty differences and issues with Donald Trump's delivery, his personality, and his mean tweets, and recognize the fundamental threat that Kamala Harris and her administration are to our country. I see the federal government under Harris using its enormous powers with contempt for the government instead of with the consent of the governed as our founders envisioned. Fundamental change in America is already occurring by executive order or the force of the government's police powers instead of through the legislative process required by the Constitution. From this, I fear that free market capitalism may be replaced by big government socialism. And that, folks, is by design. And if Harris is elected, it only worsens the erosion of our rights and freedoms, including parental rights, freedom of speech and religion, and due process will invariably be next. As we approach this critical juncture, the stakes couldn't be higher. On one side, we have the prospect of a second term for Kamala Harris, a candidate who represents the policies that run counter to everything we stand for as conservatives. On the other side, we have Donald Trump, who is definitely rough around the edges, but he has proven himself to be a force in the political arena and someone who can lead our party to victory. Yet despite this clear choice, we're seeing troubling signs of division within our own ranks. Ronald Reagan once said, quote, "The person who agrees with you 80% of the time is a friend and an ally, not the 20% who disagrees." This quote is incredibly relevant right now. We are at a moment where we cannot afford to be divided over the remaining 20% that we might disagree on. We have to focus on the 80% where we align and recognize that unity is our strength. Disunity at this stage only serves to weaken our position and jeopardize our chances at success. I get it. You may disagree with Donald Trump 20% of the time. You may not like his mean tweets. He may be a bit of a jerk, but you disagree with Harris 100% of the time. Come on, folks. We're not just facing a political opponent. We're facing an agenda that threatens to undo the progress we've made and impose policies that will further erode our freedoms and our economic stability. Kamala Harris, with her track record and her progressive vision, is not merely a candidate we disagree with. She embodies a radical shift that could have lasting and detrimental impacts on our country. Let's be clear. Failing to support our nominee is not just a minor issue. It's a major risk. If we allow ourselves to remain fragmented, if we continue to engage in infighting and holdouts and petty bickering, we are handing victory to our opponents on a silver platter. It's time to put aside personal grievances and pettiness and focus on the bigger picture. The path to victory is clear, but it requires all of us to stand united. Let's honor the legacy of Ronald Reagan and embrace his wisdom. Let's focus on what unites us, not what divides us. Together we can ensure a future that reflects our values and safeguards our nation's prosperity. After all, who really cares what Dick Cheney thinks and who he's voting for anyway? We'll take a quick break and then Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice will join us to discuss a story that broke recently that shows that multiple school districts in Kansas and Missouri have implemented policies permitting students to keep their gender identity hidden from their parents. Talk about parental choice. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's #1 talk. I'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country. Folks join together and phone into key federal races across the U.S. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Central. To phone for freedom, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And while you're online, don't forget to find and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Recently, Parents Defending Education obtained documents via FOIA request revealing that multiple school districts in Kansas and Missouri have implemented policies permitting students to keep their gender identity hidden from their parents. In some cases, the districts were going so far as mandating staff and students to use the preferred pronouns of other students and proceeding to educate staff about transgender issues like a, quote, gender-bred person, whatever the heck that is. With us now to expose this recent assault on traditional norms and, frankly, reason is Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. It would be laughable if it wasn't so dangerous. Brittany, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me on, John. I mean, it is just completely outrageous, some of the stuff that is actually happening in Kansas schools. You know, we started out with the gender unicorn, now it's the gender bread man.
Yeah.
And this is real. Like, we're laughing about it, but I've seen these documents. Like, I have seen children bring these home to their parents. These are real documents. They're really trying to teach kids this. Like, just, I'm sorry, it's crap. Like, they are trying to completely brainwash children. And thankfully, we've had some great legislators and local officials who've stood up in certain areas to a lot of this stuff. But you think this is only happening in New York and California, but it is absolutely not. Like, parents need to be on their guard. They need to know what teachers are being trained to say, and they also need to know what's going on in their kids' classroom.
Well, Brittany, every school district in America that insists on hiding information from parents needs to be called out and exposed.
Yeah.
What Missouri does is, well, it's Pete Mundo's problem, but I can do something about Kansas schools. Do you know which schools in Kansas have these policies in place?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of an interesting game of our friends at the Parental Defense Fund have you know, FOIA'd a lot of these documents and you know, we know that KCK has a policy like this. We know there were some schools in Wichita and Mays that had policies
really?
Like this. But then when you go and talk to the schools, they're like, oh, that's not actually what we meant, or that's not what we're doing. When they got called, a year and a half ago, when we were passing one of the versions of the Parental Bill of Rights, you know, all of this came out, and the school districts immediately were like, oh, no, we're not doing this. But then they're like, well, what are you doing, and why did you turn over these documents when you were FOIA'd that are instructing teachers to hide this information from parents? And you know what? A lot of teachers in Kansas actually have common sense. They don't want to do this. They don't want to use a pronoun that doesn't match the child's biology. Like, they know the difference. They know the difference between right and wrong. And it's putting teachers in a horrible position. I mean, you know, of course, there are always teachers that are part of the agenda. That's fine.
Oh, I'm sure.
But the majority of Kansas teachers don't believe this crap. Like, they just want to educate children. And so how do we defend parents' rights? How do we defend the teacher's ability to not be co-opted by, you know, the teachers union or whoever it is that's making them do this?
The two issues that I would have here, first off, it reeks of a First Amendment violation to me to force a teacher to say something like this.
But and by the way, teachers in Kansas have won on that argument.
Yes, I remember seeing a lawsuit last year that came about where a teacher sued about this. But the second issue for me is they're sending a message that says, we know better than you. And I think that's, frankly, an insult to every parent in that school district, that the district is saying that we're going to inform, we're going to withhold information from the parent. And this comes back down to that Hillary Clinton, it takes a village. No, it doesn't. It takes a parent.
And that's not to say that parents don't need a community surrounding them.
Right.
But the primary authority, the primary person who is responsible for that child is their parent. And the whole concept is that parents are harmful to children. Like, no, in most circumstances, that parent has that child's best interest at heart. They know that child best, and they have the responsibility that is God-given to raise that child, not the government.
It's just so backwards. I mean, that's what I find so frustrating about this whole concept. And I'm get, you know, again, this comes back down to why we needed to pass the Parental Bill of Rights, why we need to ensure that folks, that parents have the ability to push back on these kinds of policies, and why we need to expose them when we find them.
Absolutely.
We're talking with Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. I have to ask you about what we saw at the Paris Olympics, where we saw the biological male win the gold medal in women's boxing, transgender golfer Haley Davidson moving on to vying for an LPGA tour card. We're seeing it just time and time again, these sports that are allowing biological males to compete. At what point what's it going to take before America finally says enough is enough to this nonsense?
I think in a lot of ways Americans are. I mean, we've seen more than half the states pass similar bills to what Kansas passed in the Fairness of Women's Sports. You're starting to see polling that clearly shows that people know the difference. I mean, even our governor said that she didn't support men, competing in women's sports, but then she'd
vetoed the bill. And then she vetoed the bill, right.
Yeah. That to me, I don't know, but whatever. But people know. They know that this isn't right. And so it is just going to take consistently speaking up. And it's going to take, you know, students, it's going to take parents, it's going to take every level of the sports organizations consistently being willing to be bold and have courage and to speak truth to power in these circumstances, because they can't get away with it anymore. Like, they have been allowed to get away with just nonsense of allowing biological men to take spots that rightfully belong to women. And that's not okay anymore, and we can't stand for it.
No, and I think it also, it's incumbent upon people, reasonable people, to speak up about this. You know, when you see these stories, share them on social media. Make sure that, you know, if you're seeing this, talk about it. Don't be ashamed, or don't feel like you're going to be shamed into staying quiet.
Right.
If you don't like this, express your opinions, because we can't, this is not one of those issues that we're losing on. This is an issue we're winning on.
And I think a lot, the more and more people I've talked to about this issue across the country and across the state, like, they thought they were going to be the only ones when they set up. And you look at Riley Gaines, she thought she was going to be the only one.
Right.
But yet she's created a movement, right? And so, like, I think people need to find their courage. They need to be willing to be brave. They need to be willing to speak the truth in love. Be kind, be
right.
loving,
yeah.
But don't let them get away with lying about biology.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned Riley. She is coming to Wichita for the Celebrating Leadership and Courage event. It's an evening with Riley Gaines here in Wichita, coming up Tuesday night, September 10th at the DoubleTree by Hilton. And I know I've already had people say, oh, but that's the debate night. And I immediately said, who cares? DVR the debate. It's not like, look, here's the debate. Donald Trump wins. Kamala Harris lies. And watch the highlights on Fox News or on Twitter.
Correct.
I mean, you know.
I mean, what are they going to say that you haven't heard before?
Thank you.
Riley, you get to see Riley in person. You can record the debate. It'll be there. We're going to get done promptly at 9, so you can watch it. It'll only be an hour in. You can catch up. It's fine.
Right. You're not going to miss anything. Trust me.
No. Getting to hear Riley is going to be a truly special opportunity. I've got to hear her speak a couple of times in the Capitol, and she's just phenomenal, and you will leave that place feeling encouraged and inspired. It's not going to be a downer message. I mean, Riley is just truly inspirational, and so I'd encourage everyone to get out on Tuesday night. There are still tickets available. You go to our website, KansasFamilyVoice.com, you click on the events tab, you can get your ticket, but we'd love to see you there on Tuesday.
Yeah, I had someone ask me, he said, I don't want to miss the debate. I said, don't worry about it. ABC gave Kamala Harris the questions already. So trust me, you're not going to miss anything. You just DVR it and watch it when you get home. My wife and I are going to be there. We're really looking forward to it. Again, it's coming up Tuesday night at the DoubleTree. It starts at 7. There's a VIP option, too, if they want to actually meet Riley, correct?
Yes, so it starts at 5:45 if you want to meet Riley. There's a separate ticket for that that you can find on our website. We'd love to have you for that as well.
Again, that's...
You can meet her, you can shake her hand, you can ask her a question.
Woo-hoo!
It'll be a good time.
Well, that's what... Trust me, my wife and I will be there for that. We'll be there for the event. It's Tuesday night, KansasFamilyVoice.com. Brittany, thank you again for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate you. See you soon.
Yes, likewise. We'll take a quick break, and when we return, Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins will be with us to share his thoughts on Governor Kelly announcing they've got more of your money and they want to spend it. Big shock. We're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Hopefully you already listened to KNSS on your way to work, but if you tried listening before you head out to work with the free Audacy app, you can simply download Audacy, that's A-U-D-A-C-Y, and search for KNSS for your news, weather, and traffic updates whenever you need them. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, Governor Kelly earlier this week said August state government tax revenue of nearly $23 million above projections reflected greater than last year collections of your income tax and retail sales tax. Whoopee! Topeka collected more of your money. Isn't that great news? Kelly said total state tax revenue for the month hit $665 million, which was $22.8 million and 3.5% above the estimate developed in April by state budget and economic analysts. Tax collections by the Kansas Department of Revenue during August were 4% higher than in August of last year. So what does this all mean? Well, let's ask Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins. Dan, it's a pleasure to have you with us again, my friend.
Well, it's always good to be here, John. But what happened to the Laura Kelly bumper music?
Yeah, well, you know, Phil and I were just going through that, and we're out of practice is what it comes down to. Phil is my new producer. And you know what? I think actually we were having a brain. We were having a senior moment. We were having a Joe Biden moment. And neither of us could remember what it is.
Look, I was depressed. I was really ready for that Laura Kelly bumper music, and it didn't happen.
We honestly couldn't remember it. All right, Dan, what is it? We can't remember what it was. It was like,
I don't remember, but if I heard it, I'd tell you.
Trust me, we will figure it out. It's just Aerosmith. I can't remember what it is. It's driving me crazy. But yes, we will get it. Trust me.
Gotta get it back.
I know we will. Well, I mean, this is so frustrating. Laura Kelly has even more of our money than expected. And, you know, I guess what I drew from this is that she could have afforded the single rate tax cut that you guys proposed, but this just means that she could have afforded it, but turns out she just wants to spend that money.
Well, you know, John, here's the deal. You know, Laura Kelly says a lot of things that are, I would say, very political in nature for her. She's the governor that's not political, but she's very political. Quite frankly, she vetoed four tax bills that had a property tax decrease in it, and she vetoed them all because she said, you know, it was fiscally irresponsible. And quite frankly, she's not responsible to the taxpayers, and you can see that in everything she does.
There you go, Dan.
So there
it is.
Go. That's the one. That's the one. Now I'm feeling good.
Now we're feeling good. We're not going to take it anymore.
Not going to take it anymore. Yeah. So you know, when we had the special session, she brought us back for a special session, and we were able to pass a tax bill without the property tax relief.
Right.
Simply because she said that we didn't have enough money. Well, we've got plenty of money. We've had plenty of money. And when we come back in January to session, I would say we're probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 billion in the bank. And it's growing. It's continuing to grow. we are going to push for property tax relief. Now, everybody knows that the only thing that we have in the form of property tax is our 20 mills, actually 21 and a half mills, but 20 mills for education, which we wanted to take off 2 mills, and that's about a $90 million spend. I think we're probably going to push more for what our tax chair, Adam Smith, out of West King, Kansas, wants, and that's to get us down around that 16 and three quarters mills, which, yeah, that's $120 million. I would say with what we have, we can sustain, and it's truly going to be responsible for us to return that money to our taxpayers in the form of tax relief on that 20 mills. So.
Well, and clearly, based on what this is consistent now that we're seeing revenues coming in above expectations. So clearly we can afford to do additional tax relief. It's what you've said all along. The problem is Laura Kelly just keeps wanting to spend the money. She doesn't want to have to be fiscally conservative.
Well, it's her brand of fiscal conservatism, I would say. It's not our brand.
Right.
What she says is fiscally conservative is her having enough money to start all the programs that she wants, spend all the money she wants. That's not what we want. We want to make sure that we get money back to our taxpayers. And people across the state need to remember that. When it comes to this election, you know, do you want to continue sending more money into the state or do you want to send less? If you want to send less, you're going to elect fiscally conservative Republicans up in Johnson County and elsewhere so we can do that.
And we're not even talking about the reserves. There's still massive reserves.
No. It's just adding to the reserves now. I mean, 23.5 million over where we were supposed to be. That's a pretty good chunk.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking with Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. Yeah. I saw another tweet. She tweets out a lot. Well, she doesn't, but someone on her staff does. But she tweeted out again today about rural hospitals and they're struggling and how Medicaid expansion is just going to save them. She is like a dog with a bone on this thing, Dan. I mean, she is just not giving up on Medicaid expansion, is she?
Well, she's not. And guess what? I'm not going to go anywhere. And as long as I'm here, I'm going to fight it to the end. We're not going to do Medicaid expansion. There was just an article came out recently. I believe we put it in the Record.
Yeah, you did.
In fact, I think it was in the Record this last Friday from a group that said that Medicaid expansion actually hurts rural hospitals, hurts rural hospitals more than anybody. And so isn't it interesting that now all of a sudden we have these articles coming out from different folks that have not been in the hunt, not in the game on Medicaid expansion, and now they're saying, listen, whoa, slow down here. You know, if we do Medicaid expansion, we're going to hurt these rural hospitals, not help them. I think that's very interesting. And then you've got a governor that continues to want to push Medicaid expansion, which he will. But Dan Hawkins is still in the legislature, plan to still be there the next 2 years, and we're going to continue to stop it.
Well, part of the problem is, you and I both know, the vast majority of the monies that come to states through the federal government, through Medicaid expansion, don't go to rural hospitals. The vast majority of that money goes to the large cities and the large hospitals in those cities. In this case, it would be KU Med Center, it would be Via Christi, St. Francis, St. Joseph, the big hospitals. The little bit of money that would trickle down to these rural hospitals would be a Band-Aid. It would not make any significant difference.
Let me give your listeners some figures. 25% of all Medicaid expansion dollars go to KU and Via Christi. That's where it goes. 55% goes to the top 10 hospitals in the state. 7.3%. 7.3% go to the rural hospitals.
And that gets split amongst all of them.
All of them, yeah.
So that's
like
nothing.
The lowest one's about $6,000 a year.
So that's a pit. What is $6,000 going to do for a rural hospital? That's nothing.
Nothing.
That barely nothing. Buys their toilet paper. I mean, it's not going to save. That's, again.
They might buy some Kleenexes.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but Laura Kelly's out there on Twitter almost on a daily basis saying how Medicaid expansion is going to save rural hospitals.
Laura Kelly thinks that is a great campaign piece to fire up her base, but that's all it fires up is her base. It doesn't fire up anybody else.
Dan, you mentioned it, I know we're coming up on a break, but I want to give you a chance again. We're through the midterms. We've had you on already to talk about it, but now is, you know, it's that time of year, and we're coming up on, you know, really the heat of it. Folks are already starting to vote in some states. There are major elections here in Sedgwick County. Sandy Pickard, you know, Sweeley out in Hutchinson. If there are folks here in Wichita that are, you know, in grassroots folks that want to door knock or get involved in some of the races, what are the big ones here down in particularly in this audience listening area that they should be working on?
So in our area, we've got Webb Roth down in Winfield that could probably use just a little bit of help, but he's going to do fine. He just needs a little help. Sandy Pickard's where we're really going to spend most of our time in Sedgwick County. We've got people going over and working with her. If you want to call her, your folks want to call her and go over and help walk. So that's what she needs. She needs help going door to door. Kyler Sweeley, of course, over there in Hutchinson against Democrat Jason Probst. That's going to be a big race. That's one that we can win. We just need people over there helping out. You know, then from there, the rest of them are quite a ways away. Manhattan's a big one with Angel Roser. She's got a pretty tough race. And then the rest of them are all up in the northeast, up in the Johnson County area. Randy Roth, Kurt Ruff, Lauren Bohai, and Charlotte Esau. Those are our big pickups. And then we got some defense up there that we've got to play. Carl Turner, Laura Williams, Adam Turk, a couple others, Mike Thompson. So we've got a lot of big races across the state, and we just need help in every one of them.
I've heard about another name that has come up recently, Christopher Parisho. Is that a race that we could win in the 95th by any chance?
You know, any race is possible. There's possible and there's probable. That race has Tom Sawyer in it, the Democrat that's been there for 30 some years. He's well known. I think he can put probably a lot of money in it. It still makes it tough to win, but I wouldn't say it can't be won. I would just say the probability is not so good.
Jill Ward seems to be doing okay. I mean, she's up against the, you know, John Burke, who was just a real pain in the butt when I worked with him in Hayesville. I'm so glad to see. She seems to be doing pretty good, though. I know she's working real hard.
Yeah, she's a tough gal. She gets out there and she works hard. She'll win it. Jill Ward's going to be a great representative when she gets up there, so I'm not too worried about her, but certainly she can use the help. I mean, she's out walking every day, working hard to win that race, and she'll win it.
Tom Kessler still doing okay down in Hayesville?
Tom is, you know, the thing Tom has is he is known by every single person in his district. I mean, you can't be in that part of town and not know Tom Kessler. And so Tom's out there working, and he's working hard. He doesn't take it for granted, but I can't imagine anybody beating him.
Okay, good. Well, and how about Cindy Howerton? She's still doing okay?
She's doing good. Cindy's a great representative up here already also, just like Tom Kessler. She's not taking it for granted. She's out there working hard, and she'll do okay in her district. Nick Hoheisel, he's okay. Nick's actually out helping some others, even though he's got a race. Pat Penn's okay, but Pat's also out there helping others. He has a race also, but he has time to help some other people. So we got a great set of representatives and candidates down in Sedgwick County, and our current representatives are out there helping everybody, making sure that they're going to get across the line.
That's what it takes. Dan, if folks want to help, if they're involved, is the best way for them to maybe reach out to Deb Lucia at the Sedgwick County Republican Party or maybe Blake Carpenter? Do they reach out to Blake? What's the best way?
I got to tell you, either one of those. If you know, Blake is kind of running our system down there. He's keeping track of everybody. He's got a spreadsheet. He has basically a weekly place for us to go. So he keeps track of where we're going to go, and he rounds people up and takes them wherever we're going to work that week. Last week, I think it was, we were in Manhattan working for Angel Roser. So every weekend, he's got a list of places to go and work. So Blake's probably, for us, a good place. Deb Lush is probably good too, but I think Blake knows exactly where we need to have people and when we need them there. So,
well, brother, I appreciate you as always. I'm sure we will have you on again before the election, but keep up the good work. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to sign up for your newsletter, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Dan Hawkins, Kansas, and Kansas is spelled out danhawkinskansas.com.
Dan, I love you as always. I'm sure I'll see you again here soon at something. We've got a lot of events coming up. I'm sure I'll see you there.
Oh, you bet. We'll see you, John.
Thank you, brother. We'll take a quick break, but before we do, I want to tell you, coming up after the break, we're going to give away two tickets to Tucker Carlson Live. Your chance to win two tickets to Tucker Carlson Live coming up immediately after the break. We'll take a quick break, then I want to hear from you and give away two tickets to Tucker Carlson Live. Listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. This segment of the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. All right. So here's your question. This is your chance to win two tickets to see Tucker Carlson Live with Charlie Kirk coming up this Friday at Intrust Bank Arena. The Kansas Republican Party has been a proud political leader across the nation. So here's the question for you with a Kansas connection. Who was the first black American to be elected to a statewide office? Hint, he was a Republican. And what was the year? In the meantime, it's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
This is an opinion from a former judge, Keith M. Alber. I am a student of law whose age is 85. My first year of college was 68 years ago. One class I took was political science. A half page of my textbook essentially outlined a few steps to overturn a democracy. 1, divide the nation philosophically. 2, foment racial strife. 3, cause distrust of police authority. 4, swarm the nation's borders indiscriminately and unconstitutionally. 5, engender the military strength to weaken it. 6, overburden citizens with more unfair taxes. 7, encourage civil rioting and discourage accountability for all crime. 8, control all balloting. 9, control all media. What was printed in 1954 as a possible diabolic nightmare has become an emerging reality. I hope that Americans will unite enough to pin a good finish.
Still, wow, we've had a lot of calls. Still trying to give away our two tickets to see Tucker Carlson Live. The question is, who was the first black American to be elected to a statewide office? He was a Republican. And what was the year? Also want to remind you, the Wichita Pachyderm Club luncheon coming up this Friday at the Wichita Petroleum Club. It's now the 9th floor club here downtown. And don't forget the Sedgwick County Republican Party Grand Ole Picnic coming up on the 21st. And they've got a vice presidential debate watch party coming up on October 1st. A couple of great events coming up. And don't want to miss my 60-second daily feature, the carry-on commentary. Listen to those daily, three times a day, right here on KNSS. We've got a whole another hour coming up for you. It's kicking off with, after the top of the hour break, Jeff Bluebaugh, candidate for Sedgwick County Commission District 2. In the meantime, we will continue to take calls to give away two tickets to see Tucker Carlson Live coming up Friday. First black American to be elected to a statewide office, Republican, and what was the year? See if we can give those away here in the next hour. You're listening to John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Congratulations to Peggy O'Donnell from Bel Air, who knew the answer and just won herself two tickets. And by the way, these are awesome tickets. We don't give away the cheap nosebleed seats here on KNSS. I was filling in for Steve McIntosh this week. We gave away a set of tickets, eight rows up right away, right? Like literally eight rows up from the stage. Yeah, these are good seats. I looked online. They're like $100 tickets. But she knew that Edwin McCabe, according to the Kansas GOP, by the way, that was the clue that I gave. I kind of gave a little hint away when I said the Kansas Republican Party. But according to the Kansas GOP's website, if you go to kansas.gop/aboutus, it's right there on their website. From Edwin McCabe, the first black American to be elected to a statewide office in 1882. It's right on the Kansas Republican Party's website.
That was really slick of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's nice.
I kind of gave him a hint without giving him a hint.
It was an open book test.
Yes. And I gave him a hint by saying he was a Republican. I figure all they'd have to do is go to the Kansas GOP website.
Well done.
And there it was. But it took, we had over, by the way, folks, we had over 15 people call. So thank you. I appreciate that. That was kind of fun. We should do that more often. You know what? We should do that. I've got a ton of stuff to give away. We should start giving away more stuff. But anyway, welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Thrilled to have you with us again for our second hour. We're going to resume doing something that we do every election cycle, trying to bring you as many candidates as possible. Now that we're through the primary, we will bring you general election candidates. If there's someone in particular you'd like to hear from, please let me know. We will invite them on the show, including Democrats. We've had Democrats on the show in the past. We will do that. All that being said, joining us now is Jeff Bluebaugh. He is a candidate for Sedgwick County Commission District 2. Mr. Bluebaugh is a native Kansan, born and raised in Harper County. After graduating from Chaparral High School, he moved to Wichita to work for Cessna and continue his education at night. He's lived in Wichita for over 30 years, despite what his opponents falsely telling his voters. Bluebaugh was elected to the Goddard School Board in 2011. He was later elected to the Wichita City Council, representing District 4 in 2013, has been elected three times in total to the Wichita City Council, and then in 2014, he was elected by the council to serve as vice mayor. Mr. Bluebaugh, Jeff, thank you for joining us this evening. Nice to have you on the show, my friend.
Hey, it's always great. Thanks a lot, John, for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
So, you know, when you left the city council, first off, I'm sure it was a pleasure to no longer have to serve with Brandon Whipple. But I figured you were probably done with sir. You'd done your time. It was sort of like parole. I figured you were done. What prompted you to decide to run for county, brother?
Yeah, no, I had my sights set on this county seat about 4 years ago from just right now, you know. I mean, it was, you know, especially, I know it's a Republican district, and I just want to see it represented well. I got a lot of things accomplished when I was on the Wichita City Council. You know, West Street, Meridian, Seneca, the intersection of K-42 and West Street, 235 Kellogg, the ballpark, the airport. We were able to do a lot of things without dipping hard into our general obligations. There were other funding opportunities we could do with that. And just, you know, my time on the council, people were reaching out to me for the county needs because they weren't getting their current elected to respond to them. And I have always viewed my position as elected as, you know, I was a customer service director out of Cessna. So I always view my seat as I'm Mr. Customer Service rep for the district, and I'm a natural problem solver, and I like to take care of issues for people. And as I continued to see more and more issues coming in from the county side to me, because, you know, I've got a reputation for returning calls and following up with emails and being action oriented. And as I got more and more requests in from the county and working with our commissioners, you know, it was only natural that I go after that seat. And, I'm excited to be running for it.
Well, as you know, I'm very familiar with that seat. It was more than half of my House district was down there in Southwest Sedgwick County, and Sarah Lopez does not represent that district. It's not a Democrat district. It's a Republican district. She got it through a fluke and through, you know, some false things that were said in the last election. The biggest issue, I think, I would defer to you because I know you've done a lot of door knocking, but I would have to assume the biggest thing has been property taxes. And we all know that each year, you know, after appraised values are set, the mill rates should be reduced. They haven't been. The county continues to capture revenue neutral rates. They're doing it again. They've just announced once again that they're going to capture basically 100% of the revenue neutral rates. You've been very public about your refusal. You did it on the city council, that you are committed not to raise taxes and not to vote to exceed the revenue neutral rate, correct?
Absolutely, John. I stood behind that on the city council, and I'll do the same on the county commission. We have got to make serious cuts with spending. We've knocked thousands of doors. We've been knocking doors since April, and the message is clear. I'd say 9 to 9.5 out of 10 doors, it's all taxes, taxes, taxes. It's my property taxes, and don't give me another sales tax, and don't give me another bond vote. I mean, people are taxed to death, and they're having to make real life cuts within their own houses, and they expect government to do the same. You know, well, I mean, I see doing a lot of things with tax dollars, you know, Exploration Place, the zoo. And people, you'll see people remodeling their homes. They're not fixing up their kitchens. They're not building onto their houses. They're having to make cuts in their own homes, and they expect government to do that. There's a time and a place for that. John, you know, I'm all for quality of life, and, you know, we want to have our best, you know, they always say it's a sad frog that complains about his own pond, but we want our pond to be nice. We want our area to be nice. But there's a time and a place to do it. And it's not when interest rates are high, and it's not when inflation has hit us hard. There's a time and a place for everything. And right now, we've got to remember that taxpayer. And they're struggling. People are out there choosing prescription drugs, but are they going to pay their prescription drugs? Are they going to pay their property taxes? It's real life, and people feel unheard.
Yeah, well, it's like you said, it's not when grocery prices are up 26%. It's not when price a gallon of gas has gone from $2 to $6 nationwide. It's not when home prices are up 46%. So I mean, I get it. You're absolutely right when you talk about that. I'm glad you mentioned the sales tax thing, because the commission seems to be considering a plan to raise a countywide sales tax with a promise that the revenue would be going towards reducing property taxes. The folks I've talked to, and as you know, I've been out door knocking a lot. My wife and I do that at least 20 hours every week. Do you support that idea? Because the folks I talk to do not like that idea by and large.
No. And I've heard no support that from the doors. Remember, I was on the Wichita City Council back when they tried to push the last sales tax, and that was for water, and there was a portion of it that was going to be used for incentives to bring businesses here. But you look back then, we couldn't get a sales tax passed for water. So why would we be able to get a sales tax passed now for quality of life things in the county?
Yeah, it does seem sort of counterintuitive. We're talking with Jeff Blubaugh, candidate for Sedgwick County Commission District 2. There has been a lot of talk recently about in the Wichita Eagle and other places about the county doubling the budgets for the zoo, Exploration Place, for example. There's also been talk again about this being considered for restricting non-core government spending, quality of life issues like the museums, Exploration Place, or the zoo, moving those to user fees or sales taxes, ensuring basically that property taxes could not be used to fund those items, and that those items would be then used by user fees or sales tax. What do you think of that idea?
So my fear is, John, you know, whenever we originally, back in 1985, when you look at all the publications to get that countywide 1 cent sales tax passed, it was sold as a way we're going to spend half the money to finish Kellogg. Remember the big, you're going to be able to drive across Wichita will not have any stoplights.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And the other half was going to be, and the other half was going to be for property tax relief. Well, what happens? When I was on the Wichita City Council, and I'm like, hey, 119th, 135th, 151st, we're not done with Kellogg. You know, we're still making three additional stops out there. And the majority of the council, I was overruled on it. They said, no, let's move the money to the North Junction. Let's start moving it to Northeast Wichita. Meanwhile, out west, it's crickets out there. You know, John, you and I live about a half mile apart. You know, we know what Kellogg's not down out there.
Wait a minute. I thought you lived in Harvey County. I mean, it is funny what your opponents, the malarkey that some of these opponents will come up with, isn't it?
and John, it's one of those things. I want to stick to the issues, but that kept coming up, and the Eagles getting ready to run the article on my race, and Matt Kelly, you know, wanted to do it on the phone, or I was going to go to the Eagle, and I said, Matt, just go ahead and come over to my house. And he's like, okay. So, you know, he walks in, and he goes, oh, I get it. And I'm like, yes, this is a house my wife and I built in 2006 when we got married. We picked out the lot, you know, right out there off of Pawnee. Pawnee was dirt then, you know, they hadn't even expanded it to four lane, but anyway, hopefully we're done talking about that and we can keep staying with the issues. But the property tax is what's really hurting people, John. So I'll tell you some information that I knew when I was knocking the doors. People tell me that they protested their taxes. And if they couldn't get anywhere with the county, which I will say our county's got a decent stipulation rate, I'll give it to the tax appraiser. They do work with a percentage of the people. But if you go to municipal court, is the next level, if you don't accept the county value, or you go to the next higher level, the BOTA, the Board of Tax Appeals, there is a 1% chance you will get a reduction.
Yeah.
There's hundreds of cases, and I think I sent you this data earlier so you can see it, John. There's a 99% chance that value's not going to get changed. Now, that's scary. That's very scary. That tells you there is no check and balance system out there with our assessors, the state of Kansas. And this is a trend that's been going on since the appointment of the individuals that Laura Kelly appointed to the taxation department. And the public has just got to understand this because it's very scary. We have to have a check and balance at all levels of government, certainly property tax. So, and it's specifically hitting businesses, commercial businesses hard. Now, some people think, well, businesses can handle it better than a private individual. Well, really, if it's a grocery store, guess what? They're adding an extra 10% onto your groceries. If it's any kind of product or service you're buying from, they've got to pass on. They don't have a choice.
Right. Well, and that's the problem. And folks don't understand, and I think a lot of people don't realize that this issue, I've talked to people who say, well, I don't own a home, I rent. And I point out to them, yeah, well, your landlord owns the home, and he's just going to raise your rent. And that's what people don't understand. Jeff, if folks are interested, if they want to get involved, if they want to donate, they want to, you know, get out and door knock for you, the best way for them to get in touch with you is jeff4sedgwickcounty.com, and that's the number 4, correct?
Correct. And, John, you know me, I'm bold, 316-640-0656. That's my personal number. Call me and text me. I'll gladly take anyone's calls or texts.
It's a brave man, brother. I appreciate you. I know you've knocked a lot of doors, and I'm sure you will knock a lot more. I appreciate you, my friend. Carry on and fight, brother. Keep fighting.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the opportunity to speak on your show.
We'll take a quick break, and then author Daniel Greenfield will expose how less than 1 week before 9/11, Islamist sympathizers marched through downtown Manhattan. Talk about tone deaf. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots operation in the country to join together and phone into key federal races. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Central to phone for freedom. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and
Follow me on X to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, could anyone have imagined 20 years ago, or even in the darkest days of the Obama administration, that Islamic terrorists and sympathizers would feel free to rampage across the streets of Manhattan waving Hamas flags? But here we are, and sadly, no arrests, no FBI agents knocking on their doors. Despite formal condemnations and press releases, the jihadists know they have the backing of the Democrats. They're, you know, and this is all what they've been doing 1 week before 9/11. With us now to answer these questions is author Daniel Greenfield. Daniel, thank you for joining us. Nice to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Thank you so much.
So thousands of people, rioted, basically not rioted, but, you know, marched in support of Hamas and this Islamic radicalism through downtown Manhattan on Monday afternoon, chanting, screaming. They blocked traffic. And I really have yet to see much on the way of arrests. I really haven't even seen a whole lot of condemnation. It's almost like they just kind of want it to go away because it could be inconvenient for, frankly, for Harris and Waltz.
We've seen in the past pro-Hamas supporters occupy the Capitol, assault police officers. There was a man who punched a female Capitol police officer, which we've been told is the ultimate horrifying act. Yet he got off with a slap on the wrist and no jail time, certainly no extended detention and 5 years in prison the way some people who were there on January 6th got.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's been across-the-board tolerance, sympathy, political support from them. After there were riots at UCLA, the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors actually voted to pay the legal fees for fund legal defense for the Hamas supporters rioting there. So the Democrats are very much protective of their base, and their base these days includes people who support Islamic terrorism.
Well, and this week, one woman in downtown New York was proudly waving a Hamas flag. Are these people completely tone deaf? Do they not realize that less than 2 weeks ago, six hostages were shot in the back of the head?
They're celebrating it. We've seen multiple videos in which some of the participants actually celebrate the atrocities and the killings. But when somebody is protesting against violence in Gaza, maybe they don't know if they're waving a Hamas flag. They're pretty clear about what they support, and what they support is terrorism and the murder of Americans. The question is why we are continuing to tolerate it.
Well, that is the question. I mean, I've often wondered that is, you know, we're approaching, rapidly approaching, by the way, 1 year of American citizens being held hostage. And, you know, Joe Biden has spent 40% of his administration on vacation. He literally the old coot is lying on a beach somewhere and six Americans are shot in the back of the head. I get that he's got dementia and he's not in full command of his capacities, but this is really obscene, frankly.
It is. We've seen an administration that was outlaunched in Afghanistan when 13 American service members were killed. Thousands of Americans were trapped behind enemy lines, and the United States had to retreat in a panic. We've seen this when Iran, through Houthi proxies, took over a crucial waterway and has been attacking and even sinking and destroying ships, while the Biden administration has conducted a meaningless attempt to stop them now going on 9 months with no result. And when they launched it, Biden, Kamala, and were on vacation. The Secretary of Defense was in the hospital, and the Undersecretary of Defense was on the beach. So this is just what's been going on for years now, unfortunately.
We're talking with author Daniel Greenfield. Daniel, we also saw, again, pro-Palestinian protesters have now returned to Columbia University on the first day of classes. Are we expecting another repeat of last semester? Do you think there's going to be any change? The university really hasn't put in any new procedures to protect the Jewish students. They haven't put in any policies to try and stop this. Are we expecting another encampment to come up at some point?
I think we should expect escalation because these groups never actually just repeat. They make it worse. At the University of Michigan, they announced that they're holding all student activity fees hostage, that they're going to defund the university. In other places, they're ramping up increasingly violent clashes because we now have September 11th coming up. That's obviously a crucial date for terrorists. We also have October 7th coming up. So between those dates, I think we should expect intensification of violence. We've already seen two terror attack plots, one that would have targeted New York, another in Vegas, both aimed around those dates. So I think we're not just going to see encampments. We're going to see escalation of violence, including domestic terrorism.
And, you know, Rush Limbaugh famously called these this demographic, these college kids, the young skulls full of mush. What do these geniuses want? I know we've talked, we hear them talking about wanting them to divest from Israel. Do they even know, understand what that means? Or what exactly are they wanting from these colleges?
In many cases, they've been interviewed. They don't know anything about the region.
That's what I thought.
They can't say what from the river to the sea even means, which river, which sea. But they are pretty clear on wanting to destroy America. The Columbia Students for Justice in Palestine issued a statement saying that their ultimate goal through BDS boycotts of Israel is the eradication of America as we know it. So their slogans include Intifada Revolution and globalized Intifada. Their goal is the overthrow of the United States and the entire Western civilization.
So they're basically just anarchists clothing themselves in this cause. But if there was something else, they'd find another reason to just want to bring down the country, essentially.
No, if it wasn't this, they'd be riding over the environment. We saw this with Just Stop Oil, it would be BLM. It would be something.
Right. Yeah.
So the Islamists have made common cause with the Marxists, the far leftists, who simply will ally with any enemy to bring down America.
Lovely. This is what it's come down to. You're author of the book Domestic Enemies, The Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
The theme is the last 200-plus-year war against America. People think all the problems we're dealing with started now. George Washington was dealing with them. We were dealing with them during the battles over the Constitution because the left back then still had the same agenda. The American Revolution ushered in equality, human equality. The French Revolution and the leftist revolutions wanted equity, which means the government controls and determines how equal everyone is going to be through unlimited power. And that's still the conflict that we're facing. And it goes into American history from the very beginning through the Civil War and how the left has always been plotting and how the founding fathers, Abraham Lincoln and other key figures, stood up for them.
It really is. The ongoing struggle between freedom and Marxism is really what it comes down to, isn't it? This whole thing is really what this is about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Daniel, I appreciate you, my friend. If folks want that, want to get a copy of the book, they can find it on Amazon, I assume.
Amazon, hopefully any bookstore near you.
Daniel, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you again for joining us, my friend.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
When we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, law enforcement veteran Michael Letts will tell us about, this is shocking, because it's right across the border in Marble Hill, Missouri, a small town, 1,300 folks. Their police department has been shut down, and it may be a result of the Defund the Police movement. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action conducts the largest grassroots community operation in the country. You get to join together and phone into key federal races across the U.S. gives you a great opportunity to impact races across the country. You can join AFP Kansas every Thursday from 3 to 7. Just visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to find and follow The John Whitmer Show on Facebook and True Social. And make sure you like and follow me on X to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the Defund the Police campaign that started back in 2020 has done catastrophic damage to police forces. It may be one of the key reasons why the city of Marble Hill, Missouri, no longer has a police force. Back in August, the entire department for that specific police force tendered their resignations, leaving an entire 1,300 or so city rely on nearby services from Bollinger County. And the reason for their resignation was budget restraints put in place by the city. The Sheriff's Department is reportedly working to negotiate a resolution to ensure that law enforcement services will continue to be provided with city officials, but apparently that's still ongoing. Joining us now to discuss the situation further is Michael Letts. He's a law enforcement veteran with over 30 years of experience. Michael, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Well, John, it's always a privilege to be with you. We thank you for what you're doing, not just for your listeners there, but for keeping America informed.
Appreciate you, brother. So I don't understand why so many of these officials, woke officials across the country, are buying into this defund the police, frankly, BS. Are they trying to appease that radical but loud fringe minority, or is this just an excuse to use the money elsewhere? What would prompt a city to make this kind of decision? Because it's so counterintuitive.
Well, I think, John, you hit the nail on the head. I think it's a little bit of both. Quite frankly, I think, you know, their first and foremost is it just shows how much they bought into this leftist liberal ideology, this communist ideology, to be quite frank with you. And they want to, it's not happenstance. I mean, it's well orchestrated, well planned. They want to destroy our freedoms, destroy our neighborhoods, destroy our country. And the best way to do that is to damage our first responders, law enforcement, so that violent crime skyrockets, which is where we're at right now. I mean, of course, once people panic, you saw this during COVID. You remember, John, you know, when people were concerned about COVID, they were willing to give up freedoms they would have never done before. So they're assuming that once they get, you get fearful enough of the violent crime that's spiraling upwards, you'll do a lot of things that you wouldn't normally do, including allowing them to say, look, because this is what the position they've already taken, talking about the federal government. Your local and state police can't do anything anyway. That's why they're being defunded. They're incompetent. But we're going to step in and bring this crime wave down. Of course, we believe that crime is caused by guns. Isn't it odd that they say it's caused by guns, but they don't say the real reason it's caused by the person that pulls the trigger, not the gun itself?
Right.
But they'll take that position, and they'll say, hey, so never fear, we're going to reduce crime, we're going to get rid of guns. And, you know, Kamala especially has already said she's going to basically tell Congress, you either give me what I want and banning these assault rifles. Of course, you remember that's where it starts, John. I mean, it, you know, it continues to escalate from there, but we're going to ban long rifles, et cetera. And if you don't give me what I want, I'm just going to issue an executive order and seize them.
Yeah, it's just kind of shocking when you see this. Marble Hill is a pretty small little town. It's south of St. Louis and east of Springfield, a little part of rural part of Missouri. But, I mean, what will happen to this little town now that they have to rely on police from another county in order to maintain law and order? It's a small town, but still, stuff does happen in small towns.
Well, it's not just that stuff happens in small towns. You're right, John. But it's response time. You see,
right?
Here's what we're
That's the key.
To remember is the county says, I need 15 officers. And then the small town says, well, that doesn't give us very good response time. So you're going to come in. We're going to create a town. You're going to pay more taxes now because you're in the town than you are in just the county. But you're going to get a service for it. And one of the services you're going to get is better police protection or better fire protection, whatever. You know, here's one of the things, talking about solutions, John, that we need to take a look at as the citizens and the people of America all across the country. You're charging me, basically, because I'm having to pay taxes for a service. Now you've decided this is a key service. So it's in the Constitution. One of the key things of the Constitution is to provide for the common defense and to make sure we're safe and protected. So you're charging me for a service. Now you're going to cut back on that service. In this case, you're doing away with it altogether. Does that mean you're going to cut back on my taxes? You're going to do away with them altogether?
Right, exactly.
And if not, maybe I should sue you for breach of contract.
Yeah.
And maybe we should start doing that across the country.
We're talking with law enforcement veteran Michael Letts. Michael, you know, this defund the police movement, people on the left, and we saw, you know, the famous one is Congresswoman Cori Bush, who, thank goodness, just lost her reelection. But we've seen this time and time again where these leftist politicians start spouting this nonsense. And it, I think, and you tell me, you've got 30 years of experience in law enforcement. I served as the chair of the Kansas Commission of Peace Officer Standards and Training for 6 years. And you know what the posts are. There's a post in every state. And our function was to oversee standards. And there were cases where we had to remove the credentials for law enforcement officers who misbehaved or who, for whatever reason, they deserved it. But the vast majority of cops are good guys doing the right thing on a tough job. But we're seeing thousands of officers' resignations. And I think part of it is due to this defund nonsense, because they're doing a hard job. Most of them are underpaid and underappreciated. And frankly, they're just tired of this nonsense that comes from this attitude with defund, doesn't it?
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly, John. I don't think it's part of it. I think the vast majority of the problem we're seeing is coming from it. It's an allegiance between mainstream media and this leftist ideology who espouse what the leftist ideology wants. You know, Kamala Harris, our Democratic nominee, obviously, has been a very big part of this. She has always stated that she believes in defunding the police.
Yeah.
And goes to such extents as to help raise money to free people on bail who have broken and violated the law. It's amazing to me how they do that, and then when it comes to the election time, it's suddenly, oh, I'm tough on crime. Don't you worry, I'm going to make you safe again. Can't have your cake and eat it too that way, John. It just doesn't work that way. It's just amazing to me that we've got people that would even buy that for a minute.
Yeah, it is interesting how she's running from all the positions that she took when she ran for office 4 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, she's trying to tack back to the middle because she thinks, and sadly, the press isn't calling her on any of that. Michael, I appreciate you as always, brother. If folks want to connect with you, if they want more information on Invest or what you're up to, they can find it at michaelletts.us, and that's LETTS, correct?
That is correct. On any time. Or they can go to our charity website, investusa.org. It's charity.org.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you again for joining us. It's always a pleasure having you on the show, my friend.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate what you do for saving this country. God bless you. God bless America. We'll look forward to some victories here in the near future.
Amen, brother. Appreciate you, my friend. We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open. Love to hear from you. Call in 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to hear from you. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. From breaking news to severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep it that way. Keep AM radio in vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
I want to congratulate all of the Republican primary winners. During this primary cycle, we have supported and worked actively for opposing candidates. But now it is time we unite as Republicans headed into the general election. There is much to be done, and as conservatives and Republicans, we are better together and united. I, for one, am ready to work and deliver a victory for Donald Trump and the rest of our Kansas GOP candidates up and down the ballot. Now is the time to come together, but we must also hold accountable those who won. Campaign promises are one thing. Delivering on those promises are what matters. All too often, politicians say they think what voters want to hear in order to get elected, and then forget those promises once they get into office. Rest assured, all Kansas voters will be watching.
Amen, boss. Amen. I say boss because he used to work for Wink, and he nails it every time. You got to love his truth minutes. Don't forget the Carry On Commentaries, my new 60-second daily features. that are you can hear those three times a day, every day here on KNSS. Make sure you listen to those coming up this week. Also coming up this week, the weekly Pachyderm Club lunch at the Ninth Floor Club. I understand Senator Dr. Roger Marshall is the speaker this Friday. You don't want to miss that. And, of course, on Tuesday evening at the Doubletree by Hilton is the Celebrating Leadership and Courage event, and an evening with Riley Gaines, put on by Kansas Family Voice. Great event. Can't wait for that. If you want tickets, you can get that at kansasfamilyvoice.com. So
I would recommend that to anybody. Yeah. Not just to the female side of our listenership. I would suggest that to everyone. I don't have a daughter. I have a niece, though. I have friends who have young daughters who are involved in sports, whether it be softball or tumbling or cheer. You need to listen to Riley Gaines. And,
yeah.
And she's speaking out for these girls who are trying so hard, and it's just difficult. So.
Oh, it's shocking. I saw, in fact, I'm looking now on my Twitter feed. By the way, it's at John R. Whitmer, but I'm looking at my Twitter feed, and I saw a tweet that Riley sent out this last week. I retweet a lot of her stuff because she's that good. But she sent out a tweet earlier this week of another game between two college teams, volleyball teams, and one of the teams had a biological male playing on this girl's volleyball team, indoor. And this guy was easily a foot and a half taller than any other competitor on either team. And, of course, they had the guy as a, I don't know what you call him, spiker or whatever, you know, frontline player. And one of the females on his team, you know, set him, so took her hands and lofted the ball up. And this guy goes up to the net, and you could, I mean, just by the jump, I mean, the guy got well above the net. And then if you ever watch volleyball, got up there and went for a spike, hit that ball so hard. Fortunately, it came down and hit the floor. But I just thought, you know, heaven forbid one of the girls on the other side got in between that ball and the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have hurt somebody. And it's going to be only a matter of time before a girl is hurt badly. And we've already seen it. We saw it with that field hockey incident.
Yes.
But maybe that's what's going to have to happen in one of these cases.
It shouldn't have to come to that, though.
It may have to, though. It may have to. It's like, you know, when I interviewed Riley, 2 weeks ago, and I asked, is it going to have to come to these girls refusing to play? Is that what? And that's sad, too.
That's very sad.
But maybe that's what's going to have to happen.
Common sense should rule the day, but it doesn't.
Phil, look, you had a Supreme Court justice at her confirmation hearing who said, I am not a doctor, so I'm not qualified to say to define what a woman is.
I remember that.
Common sense got thrown out here a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I don't understand this. I mean, yes, you're right. Common sense should prevail, but if we lost common sense on this issue in America a long time ago. It's and we're not talking about gay marriage or who you love or anything like that. This is a whole nother issue. This is some guy deciding it, you know, all of a sudden now I want to, or the genderbread or whatever the heck that is. We're not, you know, or somebody, I got an article someone messaged me the other day where there's a new book out that says there are 96 genders.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, 96? I thought there were two. I mean, but no, there's apparently a university curriculum now where they've identified some 96 genders. Where the hell, you know, you say common sense. 96 genders.
Folks, you can't see me, but I am vigorously shaking my head right now.
But yeah, I mean, so yeah, common sense, you would think common sense, but that got thrown out a long time ago. Don't forget, next Sunday we will be on immediately following the Kansas City Chiefs post-game show. In the meantime, carry on. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity. Kansas. Every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action conducts the largest grassroots community operation in the country. You get to join together and phone into key federal races across the U.S. Gives you a great opportunity to impact races across the country. You can join AFP Kansas every Thursday from 3 to 7. Just visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to find and follow The John Whitmer Show on Facebook and True Social. And make sure you like and follow me on X to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the Defund the Police campaign that started back in 2020 has done catastrophic damage to police forces. It may be one of the key reasons why the city of Marble Hill, Missouri, no longer has a police force. Back in August, the entire department for that specific police force tendered their resignations, leaving an entire 1,300 or so city to rely on nearby services from Bollinger County. And the reason for their resignation was budget restraints put in place by the city. The sheriff's department is reportedly working to negotiate a resolution to ensure that law enforcement services will continue to be provided with city officials, but apparently that's still ongoing. Joining us now to discuss the situation further is Michael Letts. He's a law enforcement veteran with over 30 years of experience. Michael, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Well, John, it's always a privilege to be with you. We thank you for what you're doing, not just for your listeners there, but for keeping America informed.
Appreciate you, brother. So I don't understand why so many of these officials, woke officials across the country, are buying into this defund the police, frankly, BS. Are they trying to appease that radical but loud fringe minority, or is this just an excuse to use the money elsewhere? What would prompt a city to make this kind of decision? Because it's so counterintuitive.
I think, John, you hit the nail on the head. I think it's a little bit of both. Quite frankly, I think, you know, their first and foremost is it just shows how much they bought into this leftist liberal ideology, this communist ideology, to be quite frank with you. And they want to, it's not happenstance. I mean, it's well orchestrated, well planned. They want to destroy our freedom, destroy our neighborhoods, destroy our country. And the best way to do that is to damage our first responders, law enforcement, so that violent crime skyrockets, which is where we're at right now. I mean, of course, once people panic, you saw this during COVID. You remember, John, you know, when people were concerned about COVID, they were willing to give up freedoms they would have never done before. So they're assuming that once you get fearful enough of the violent crime that's spiraling upwards, you'll do a lot of things that you wouldn't normally do, including allowing them to say, look, because this is what the position they've already taken, talking about the federal government. Your local and state police can't do anything anyway. That's why they're being defunded. They're incompetent. But we're going to step in and bring this crime wave down. Of course, we believe that crime is caused by guns. Isn't it odd that they say it's caused by guns, but they don't say the real reason it's caused by the person that pulls the trigger, not the gun itself?
Right.
But they'll take that position and they'll say, hey, so never fear, we're going to reduce crime, we're going to get rid of guns. And, you know, Kamala especially has already said she's going to basically tell Congress to either give me what I want and banning these assault rifles. Of course, you remember that's where it starts, John. I mean, it, you know, it continues to escalate from there, but we're going to ban long rifles, et cetera. And if you don't give me what I want, I'm just going to issue an executive order and seize them.
Yeah, it's just kind of shocking when you see this. Marble Hill is a pretty small little town. It's south of St. Louis and east of Springfield, a little part of rural part of Missouri. But, I mean, what will happen to this little town now that they have to rely on police from another county in order to maintain law and order? It's a small town, but still stuff does happen in small towns.
Well, it's not just that stuff happens in small towns. You're right, John. But it's response time. You see,
right.
Here's what we're
That's the key.
To remember is the county says, I need 15 officers. And then this small town says, well, that doesn't give us very good response time. So you're going to come in, we're going to create a town, you're going to pay more taxes now because you're in the town than you are in just the county, but you're going to get a service for it. And one of the services you're going to get is better police protection or better fire protection, whatever. You know, here's one of the things, talking about solutions, John, that we need to take a look at as the citizens and the people of America all across the country. You're charging me, basically, because I'm having to pay taxes for a service. Now you've decided this is a key service. So it's in the Constitution. One of the key things of the Constitution is to provide for the common defense and to make sure we're safe and protected. So you're charging me for a service. Now you're going to cut back on that service. In this case, you're doing away with it altogether. Does that mean you're going to cut back on my taxes? You're going to do away with them altogether?
Right, exactly.
And if not, maybe I should sue you for breach of contract.
Yeah.
And maybe we should start doing that across the country.
We're talking with law enforcement veteran Michael Letts. Michael, you know, this defund the police movement, people on the left, and we saw, you know, the famous one is Congresswoman Cori Bush, who, thank goodness, just lost her reelection. But we've seen this time and time again where these leftist politicians start spouting this nonsense. And it, I think, and you tell me, you've got 30 years of experience in law enforcement. I served as the chair of the Kansas Commission of Peace Officer Standards and Training for 6 years. And you know what the posts are. There's a post in every state. And our function was to oversee standards. And there were cases where we had to remove the credentials for law enforcement officers who misbehaved or who, for whatever reason, they deserved it. But the vast majority of cops are good guys doing the right thing on a tough job. But we're seeing thousands of officers' resignations. And I think part of it is due to this defund nonsense, because they're doing a hard job. Most of them are underpaid and underappreciated. And frankly, they're just tired of this nonsense that comes from this attitude with defund, doesn't it?
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly, John. I don't think it's part of it. I think the vast majority of the problem we're seeing is coming from it's an allegiance between mainstream media and this leftist ideology who espouse what the leftist ideology wants. You know, Kamala Harris, our Democratic nominee, obviously, is been a very big part of this. She has always stated that she believes in defunding the police.
Yeah.
And goes to such extents as to help raise money to free people on bail who have broken and violated the law. It's amazing to me how they do that, and then when it comes to election time, it's suddenly, oh, I'm tough on crime. Don't you worry, I'm going to make you safe again. Can't have your cake and eat it too that way, John. It just doesn't work that way. It's just amazing to me that we've got people that would even buy that for a minute.
Yeah, it is interesting how she's running from all the positions that she took when she ran for office 4 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, she's trying to tack back to the middle because she thinks, and sadly, the press isn't calling her on any of that. Michael, I appreciate you as always, brother. If folks want to connect with you, if they want more information on Invest or what you're up to, they can find it at michaelletts.us, and that's L-E-T-T-S, correct?
That is correct. On any time, or they can go to our charity website, investusa.org. It's charity.org.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you again for joining us. It's always a pleasure having you on the show, my friend.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate what you do for saving this country. God bless you. God bless America. We'll look forward to some victories here in the near future.
Amen, brother. Appreciate you, my friend. We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open. Love to hear from you. Call in 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to hear from you. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. From breaking news to severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep it that way. Keep AM radio in vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
I want to congratulate all of the Republican primary winners. During this primary cycle, we have supported and worked actively for opposing candidates. But now it is time we unite as Republicans headed into the general election. There is much to be done, and as conservatives and Republicans, we are better together and united. I, for one, am ready to work and deliver a victory for Donald Trump and the rest of our Kansas GOP candidates up and down the ballot. Now is the time to come together, but we must also hold accountable those who won. Campaign promises are one thing. Delivering on those promises are what matters. All too often, politicians say they think what voters want to hear in order to get elected, and then forget those promises once they get into office. Rest assured, all Kansas voters will be watching.
Amen, boss. Amen. I say boss because he used to work for Wink, and he nails it every time. And you got to love his truth minutes. Don't forget the Carry On Commentaries, my new 60-second daily features that are you can hear those three times a day, every day here on KNSS. Make sure you listen to those coming up this week. Also coming up this week, the weekly Pachyderm Club luncheon at the Ninth Floor Club. I understand Senator Dr. Roger Marshall is the speaker this Friday. You don't want to miss that. And, of course, on Tuesday evening at the DoubleTree by Hilton is the Celebrating Leadership and Courage event, and an evening with Riley Gaines, put on by Kansas Family Voice. Great event. Can't wait for that. If you want tickets, you can get that at kansasfamilyvoice.com. So
I would recommend that to anybody. Yeah. Not just to the female side of our listenership. I would suggest that to everyone. I don't have a daughter. I have a niece, though. I have friends who have young daughters who are involved in sports, whether it be softball or tumbling or cheer. You need to listen to Riley Gaines, and she's speaking out for these girls who are trying so hard, and it's just difficult.
Oh, it's shocking. I saw, in fact, I'm looking now on my Twitter feed. By the way, it's at John R. Whitmer, but I'm looking at my Twitter feed, and I saw a tweet that Riley sent out this last week. I retweet a lot of her stuff because she's that good. But she sent out a tweet earlier this week of another game between two college teams, volleyball teams, and one of the teams had a biological male playing on this girl's volleyball team, indoor. And this guy was easily a foot and a half taller than any other competitor on either team. And, of course, they had the guy as a, I don't know what you call him, spiker or whatever, you know, frontline mm-hmm. player. And one of the females on his team, set him. So took her hands and lofted the ball up. And this guy goes up to the net. And you could, just by the jump, I mean, the guy got well above the net. And then if you ever watch volleyball, got up there and went for a spike, hit that ball so hard. Fortunately, it came down and hit the floor. But I just thought, you know, heaven forbid one of the girls on the other side got in between that ball and the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have hurt somebody. And it's going to be only a matter of time before a girl is hurt badly. And we've already seen it. We saw it with that field hockey incident.
Yes.
But maybe that's what's going to have to happen in one of these cases.
It shouldn't have to come to that, though.
It may have to, though. It may have to. It's like, you know, when I interviewed Riley, 2 weeks ago, and I asked, is it going to have to come to these girls refusing to play? And that's sad, too.
That's very sad.
But maybe that's what's going to have to happen.
Common sense should rule the day, but it doesn't.
Phil, look, you had a Supreme Court justice at her confirmation hearing who said, I am not a doctor, so I'm not qualified to say to define what a woman is.
I remember that.
Common sense got thrown out here a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I don't understand this. I mean, yes, you're right. Common sense should prevail, but we lost common sense on this issue in America a long time ago. It's, and we're not talking about gay marriage or who you love or anything like that. This is a whole nother issue. This is some guy deciding it, you know, all of a sudden now I want to, or the genderbread or whatever the heck that is. We're not, you know, or somebody, I got an article someone messaged me the other day where there's a new book out that says there are 96 genders.
Oh my.
And I'm like, 96? I thought there were two. I mean, but no, there's apparently a university curriculum now where they've identified some 96 genders. Where the hell, you know, you say common sense, 96 genders.
Folks, you can't see me, but I am vigorously shaking my head right now.
But yeah, I mean, so yeah, common sense, you would think common sense, but that got thrown out a long time ago. Don't forget, next Sunday, we will be on immediately following the Kansas City Chiefs postgame show. In the meantime, carry on.